Looking to pick up the next home run king?
High drive left field. Going back. Boom. Stand. Baby.
Or are you still trying to figure out who some of your guys are?
Paul Goldschmidt, and that ball is gone. Oh, wow. Upper deck.
Whether you're sifting through the waiver wire for sleepers or just trying to keep your team in the race.
He went onto the rolled up tarp. What a play by Nolan Arenado.
We've got your bases covered.
At the wall, leaping. Oh, a play! George Springer has just kept this game tied in the bottom of the 10th.
It's the Can of Corn Cast with Andy Greenberg on ArizonaSports.com.
My, oh my!
Hello out there in fantasy baseball land. Andy Greenberg, Can of Corn Cast coming at you. It's podcast time, fantasy baseball time to be more exact. You might be listening to me one of many different ways, maybe on your phone through the podcast app, maybe on ArizonaSports.com, or maybe you stumbled across my hosting site, Podomatic. Pretty great. Also very enjoyable to make these shows. I love doing it. So happy to be here. So let's get right to it. It's time, as always, we kick it off with the starting five.
The starting five.
Drives that one high and deep and kiss it goodbye. Hashtag vote Goldie, his 19th, and it's 1-0 Diamondbacks.
And once again, number one local boy, Paul Goldschmidt of the Arizona Diamondbacks, leads all Major League Baseball with a .358 batting average and just continues to be outstandingly productive. Now, a bit of a tidbit before we move on to number two. Goldschmidt, number one hitter in the league, .358. And right behind him is D. Gordon of the Florida Marlins. My goodness. Miami Marlins, D. Gordon, second baseman for the Miami Marlins, a .355 average. D. Gordon is the highest ranking player, according to Yahoo. He's in at 21. Highest ranking player without a home run. That's fascinating. D. Gordon still doesn't have a home run. I looked up the next one, it was Ben Revere at about 130-something. I think it was 134. Anyways, moving on, we've already got number one out of the way. Number two, Bryce Harper, left Thursday's game with a strained hamstring, was going to be reevaluated over the weekend, and it looks like he has come back and already hit a home run. He's got a solo homer in today's game, today being Saturday, and Bryce Harper already saying, I don't care about my injury. I'm still going to show up, and I'm going to hit home runs. So fascinating there as Bryce Harper hit one off Francisco Liriano, solo shot there, as you just heard me checking my phone to make sure that I was correct in saying that. Number three on this week's starting five hitters, Todd Frazier, third baseman for the Cincinnati Reds. These are the top five hitters overall in fantasy baseball. Frazier having a solid season so far, 22 homers, 49 runs, 46 RBIs. Giancarlo Stanton comes in at number four, leading the majors in homers with 25 and RBIs at 63. Goldie, I mentioned earlier, he's number two in RBIs at 55. Yeah. That's how far ahead Giancarlo Stanton is from everybody else in runs batted in. He's got 63. Number two has 55. And at number five on our top five hitters on the season, it's Josh Donaldson, third baseman of the Toronto Blue Jays, leads the majors in runs with 55. He's also hitting a nice .304. We look at the pitchers now. Number one, Max Scherzer, who at this exact moment, as I am recording this podcast, is perfect through six innings against the Pirates. This is Saturday. Scherzer on the mound dominating, but everything I got here is through Friday. So he leads all starting pitchers in whip at .88 and has a monster strikeout-to-walk ratio at 8.07. For those unfamiliar with that statistic, on average, Max Scherzer strikes out just over eight batters for every batter he walks. That is impressive. Number two, an ace in the making, Gerrit Cole, Pittsburgh Pirates, leading all starting pitchers in ERA at 1.78, second in the league in quality starts with 12. Sonny Gray comes in at number three. He's our innings pitch leader at 101.2. Right behind him is Dallas Keuchel at 101.1, and those two have kind of gone back and forth as your innings leaders this season. Gray is also tied for third with a few pitchers in the majors, with 11 quality starts. Number four, the youngster, Chris Archer of the Tampa Bay Rays. Third in strikeouts behind Kershaw and Sale. He's got 116. Neither of those guys are making the top five on the overall for the season, though, because number five is the aforementioned Dallas Keuchel. Second innings pitch behind Gray by just one out, starting to trend downwards after a really hot start. So he's been good, just not outstanding as he was his last three starts. He's given up seven earned runs in 19 and two-thirds innings. Now the hottest players in the game over the last 2 weeks. This is your starting five for the hottest players in the game. Number one, Manny Machado, shortstop and third baseman for the Baltimore Orioles. Manny Machado, 15 of 36. Three homers, seven RBIs, 10 runs, a steal. And that's a .417 batting average at 15 of 36, a 1.169 OPS. Number two on the list of the hottest players in baseball, Todd Frazier. Number three overall, number two in the last 2 weeks. 17 of his last 32, that's a .405 batting average. Also has 10 runs and 7 RBIs. Number three, Giancarlo Stanton, got another double up here. 15 of his last 37, good for a .405 average, 5 homers, 12 RBIs. Number four in the last 2 weeks, it's Albert Pujols, first baseman for the Los Angeles Angels. 13 of his last 33, that's good for a .394 batting average, 4 homers, 6 RBIs. And number five, the only pitcher on the list, it's Chris Sale. 22 and two-thirds innings, that's good for 3 quality starts, 40 strikeouts in that span, and only 4 walks. He struck out 40 batters and walked 4. Impressive. A 1.19 ERA and a .62 whip in that span. That's it for the starting five. We have the top five best hitters, top five best pitchers, and the top five hottest players in baseball. Coming up next, we're going to take a dive into the free agent pool. I got some outfielders, I got a catcher, and I got a closer who is under 50% owned. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. It's the Can of Corncast. I'm Andy Greenberg.
It's the Can of Corncast with Andy Greenberg on ArizonaSports.com.
And we continue along on the Can of Corncast. Andy Greenberg here with you. We talked a little bit about Paul Goldschmidt, as we often do on this show, because when you sit at number one overall for weeks upon weeks, it's kind of hard not to. But now we switch gears a little bit, talking about guys that aren't very owned. These are the free agent pool guys. They're swimming around in that pool. We're going to take a dive in and see what's going on. So first, we're going to start in the shallow end. That's players 51 to 75% owned in Yahoo leagues. And I see Matt Wieters, catcher for the Baltimore Orioles, 72% owned. He's back, he's healthy, and he's not playing every day. So if you want to use him as a second catcher, this is a fantastic guy to go with. Since returning, he's 11 of 35 through Friday. That's good for a .314 average, 2 homers, 8 ribbies, 7 runs. The Orioles don't want him to play every day. They want to kind of ease him back in from that elbow injury. And Caleb Joseph, though, after a hot start, has not been very great, yet he's been serviceable. So the Orioles are okay with Joseph playing more than just once or twice a week, as Wieters is pretty much playing every other day. Swimming around in this free agent pool between 26 and 50% is Toronto Blue Jays outfielder Kevin Pillar, 35% owned, an absolute wizard in the field, and he's really starting to heat up at the plate. The last 2 weeks, he's 19 of 51. It's good for a .373 average. He has a homer, 10 RBIs, 7 runs, and 3 steals. And I love this stat. He's got 6 multi-hit games over his last 10. Now, no question as to whether or not he's going to start every day, because he's so darn good in the outfield. Spectacular, one might say, as we got to see a share of highlight videos from Pillar early in the season. So much that we've had a lot of good defensive plays from him that just go unnoticed, because it's like, oh yeah, he's just doing his thing out there. We get, yeah, Kevin Pillar, we get it. All right. So I'm just going to do the same thing. We're going to move on. In the deep end of the free agent pool, this is guys 0 to 25% owned. I'm right on the cusp. It's Joey Butler, outfielder of the Tampa Bay Rays, 25% owned. Before this season, the 29-year-old had played in only 14 major league games, 6 for Texas, 8 for St. Louis, and now he's with the Rays, and he's become an integral part of their success this year, hitting .336, 6 homers, 19 RBIs, 17 runs, and that's all since May 3rd when they called him up to the big leagues. 13 multi-hit games in his last 10. See, I love talking about that. Or rather, excuse me, 13, that doesn't make any sense. 13 multi-hit games and only 10 games without a hit. That's what I find really impressive about Joey Butler. More often than not, he's hitting the ball two or more times than not at all. And I think that is huge, especially for a guy who's not spending the entire season on the team, though now he is, because he's hitting .336. And strikeouts coming often. But you can't ignore that batting average. It's been over 300, and I could say permanently, but yeah, it's been over 300 since May 31st. He had four hits against the Orioles. He's kind of been flirting with that 300, going up and down and between 290 and 310, and now he's well over it since May 31st. And we're going to check out in right center field in that D-backs Chase Field pool. I find Brad Ziegler. And with the Chase Field pool, I'm only talking about guys that are 0 to 50% owned. Brad Ziegler is 46% owned. That means that there is a darn good chance that a number one closer is available in your league. Now, it's possible you play with guys that are ultra competitive and he's gone, but that's a low number for a number one closer, especially for a team as good as the Diamondbacks. So, looks like David Hernandez isn't going to be the guy right now. He's only pitched 3 innings since returning 2 weeks ago. Might take a little time if they're actually going to put him in that closer role. So as long as they're still just working Hernandez into the bullpen, Brad Ziegler is a great closer option. It's shocking to see somebody with such a low ownership percentage that has 10 saves and counting. Definitely an asset. He's pitched 30 innings this year and his ERA is 1.5. His whip's below 1 at .97. So even if you have three closers already, Ziegler is an excellent addition and can be trade bait too. And this week, I'm doing something a little different. This week, changing the show up a little bit, we're not doing any dugout chatter, so instead, I'm giving you a drop of the week. This guy's 75% owned or higher, and these are guys that you should not have on your team anymore, and coming right in at 75%, it is Seattle Mariners first baseman and eligible outfielder, though he hasn't played there yet for the Mariners, Mark Trumbo. Things have not been good to Mr. Trumbo since being traded to Seattle from the Diamondbacks. In 13 games, he's hitting .188 with 2 runs and 4 RBIs. He's also struck out 13 times and walked once, which is way below his strikeout-to-walk average. I didn't even bother calculating that because all you need to know is that striking out 13 times and walking once is awful. It's awful. Especially if you're hitting .188. It's just been a disaster of an acquisition for the Mariners. Oh, they wanted more power. Oh, it's a good trade. We're getting more power in our lineup, and it's just been terrible. So I wouldn't even be surprised if he was moved before the deadline. Now, I had all of those thoughts, what I just said about Trumbo, down on paper, and then I get a little bloop on my phone from the MLB app. It said, Seattle Mariners have reassigned hitting coach Howard Johnson to minor league camp and hired Edgar Martinez as their new hitting coach. Future Hall of Famer, at least he sure as hell better be, Edgar Martinez is the new Mariners hitting coach. Now, I'm not sure if this will make a huge turnaround for Trumbo. It's something to think about, but I'm still standing by my decision. It's okay to drop Mark Trumbo because Seattle is not a good place for him to play. They need to move him at the deadline for somebody else. Hopefully someone will be able to take that contract and the Mariners can move on from what was an abysmal trade, especially if those prospects they got rid of end up panning out. This could go down as a pretty bad deal for Seattle. Well, it's not been great for the Diamondbacks either. Castillo's serviceable, good catcher at best, and Dominic Leone lost immediately and was sent to the minors. Coming up next is going to step into the on-deck circle. We're going to step into the on-deck circle. We're going to do it together. We're going to talk about a player from the majors and a player in the minors right now. You got to keep on your watch list or maybe stash on your team right now. One of them new. One of them I've talked about before. We'll get to that in just a moment. It's Can of Corncast. I'm Andy Greenberg.
It's the Can of Corncast with Andy Greenberg on ArizonaSports.com.
The Can of Corn Cast rolls along. Andy Greenberg here with you. We're talking fantasy baseball and Can of Corn. Easy fly ball. And we make it easy for you to win at fantasy baseball. There's a lot of different ways you can find me online. You can find me on Twitter at canofcorn987. That's for 98.7 arizonasports.com, where you can find my blog and podcast. Again, arizonasports.com. If you see this Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it'll be easy to find right on the front page there. Otherwise, you can just search Andy Greenberg or search Can of Corncast, and there it is. You can Google it. You can find me on Facebook, The Can of Corncast with Andy Greenberg. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Also, be sure to download my podcast from arizonasports.com or from the podcast app on your iPhone or Android. Download it, rate it, review it, subscribe, all that great stuff. Write me a review. I love reading those reviews. Write it out, rate it, subscribe it, all that good stuff. Can of Corncast, Andy Greenberg. Now, let's step into the on-deck circle. In the majors right now, about to make a big name for himself, is the first position player from the 2014 draft to make it into the majors. He is catcher and outfield eligible. He's on the Chicago Cubs, and his name is Kyle Schwarber. 24% owned right now because he's been pretty hot since coming into the majors. 6 of 13 with a homer, 4 RBIs, and 5 runs, and he's been a designated hitter. So it'll be interesting to see what the Cubs do when they leave Minnesota. They've been in Cleveland and Minnesota. He pinch hit in his debut and caught the final inning. No word as to whether or not they're going to use him in the outfield, but I think he's a great addition to your team as a second catcher, especially because he's eligible in the outfield, because catchers don't play every day, and they might try to rotate Schwarber in that outfield, especially because Dexter Fowler's really on a downhill slope at the plate big time. Don't expect Schwarber to play any more games at DH after they leave Minnesota on June 21st. They've got one series left this season in American League Park. It's on the south side of Chicago against the White Sox in August. So because of this, I wouldn't be shocked if they send him back to AA Tennessee or if they send him to AAA, because he's done well enough so far to warrant use in the majors. But I wouldn't be surprised, because if they've been using him at DH, they like Miguel Montero as their catcher, although they did trade Wellington Castillo to the Mariners, so they might need that extra piece at catcher. In AA this year, or he's only played catcher. Last year, he split time between catcher and left field, 20 games behind the plate, 36 in the outfield. So he is definitely interchangeable position-wise, and we'll see what happens after this series if they hang on to him. I think that's the kicker. If they get rid of him, we may not see him again until maybe August or September if they send him back to the minors. But if they keep him with the big club, he can definitely be a fantasy asset, mostly because of that catcher outfield eligibility, which you don't see very often. But even still, if he can take reps away from Miguel Montero and get some starts at catcher, he's definitely a fantasy asset. In the minors right now, I've talked about this guy before, 19% owned and climbing, Steven Matz. I believe when I first talked about him, he was 1% owned. I've had him stashed in my NA spot on my team for really ever since the Mets called up Noah Syndergaard. And I went back and picked up Steven Matz and stuck him there. And he's just dominating at AAA Las Vegas, much like Syndergaard was. And that's a hitter's park in a hitter's league. And it's too bad he's been dominating, because now he can't be an all-star. And I say that because the Mets are planning to call him up on July 1st. Again, the Mets want to call up starting pitcher Steven Matz on July 1st. So he's not going to be in that AAA All-Star game if he ends up with the big club. His highest ERA at the end of a season in his minor league career is 2.62. I'll say that again. I like repeating stuff with this guy, it seems. His highest ERA in the minors in a season is 2.62. His career minors ERA, 2.27. And this is an interesting stat. He's hit more batters than the amount of home runs he's given up. He's hit 14 batters and given up 13 home runs. So he doesn't really serve it up, but he can lose his control a little bit. But this is a career minors thing, not just this year. He struck out more than one batter per inning in his minors career. That's great. He's been money the entire season. breaking down his starts here. He's had four starts where he hasn't given up any runs. He's had five starts where he's given up just one run. And the rest are two or more. Two starts with two earned runs or more. One with three and two with four. So again, in starts giving up just one or less earned run, he's got nine of them. Two or more earned runs, five. That's it. And he's never given up more than four this year. That is really impressive, which I keep saying over and over again, but I'm very excited to see this guy pitch in the majors and see if he can translate his minor league success to Citi Field and the New York Metropolitans. Speculation for when he gets brought up is that Jonathan Nease is going to go to the bullpen. Somebody might get traded, or the Mets keep a six-man rotation. And mentioning Jonathan Nease and tying this back to the beginning of the show, it says on my little bio thing on arizonasports.com, but my crowning achievement that wasn't winning one of my two championships in fantasy baseball was trading Jonathan Nease for Paul Goldschmidt and then hanging on to Goldschmidt, and really until now. And he's going to be my keeper for quite some time because that's how our league is set up. And all I had to do was trade away Jonathan Nease, who, if I'm not mistaken, had been on my team for about 2 weeks. Yeah, love it. Out the door, that's the end of the show. I'm Andy Greenberg. This is the Can of Corn Cast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to my podcast. Check out my blog on arizonasports.com. Sometimes I write about stuff I talk about in the show. Sometimes I don't. Who knows? It's different every week. Listen to the show there. Download it. All that good stuff. And I appreciate you listening. Thank you very much. And until next week, let's play ball.
The Can of Corn Cast is brought to you by ArizonaSports.com and 98.7 FM.
Hey, Lloyd, do some delivery for the truck to the airport.
Thank you very much.